Morning.
Good morning, Paul. Happy belated birthday.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Right, Paul, I sent you a happy birthday last
Thank
night,
you.
and I was like, shucks, his birthday was on the 23rd.
I wanted to respond, but it would have been like midnight for you. So thank you. But I did get it. I appreciate that. So we were talking about my favorite subject today. Let me pull it up. And we're at the last law of spiritual success. So let me pull that up for you. And I hope this has been enriching, edifying, all those lovely words. And really, when we understand everything originates from spirit. So if we can get a handle on the importance of spirit first, and then understand that everything flows out of spirit. We don't always see it that way because spirit is outside of our realm of the five senses. But when we understand that everything originates out of spirit, and if we can truly grasp that, one, it allows everything to flow into our life the way it was supposed to and the way it was intended. Also recognize, and I'm just kind of free-forming here, recognize that God's intent in his creation of us is that we would return back unto him. Part of the curse of the fall of man was the separation between us and God. And of course, he took care of that with Christ, but there's a effort on our part to make sure that we are surrendering ourselves, repenting, i.e. turning away from our sin, because the ultimate outcome of those choices, disobedience, will lead to a separation of God. And since we are created in his image, we can only sustain our life as we surrender our spirit over to him. And that is the really the daily task that we have each and every day is getting to that point of recognizing our absolute desperate need for God. And when we do that and we surrender ourselves over that and we allow him to be our soul sustaining in everything that we require in life, primarily the number one need from a physical standpoint, obviously, is food and water, but from a spiritual standpoint, is love. First, love for ourselves, in a sense of God pouring into us and recognizing that our identity is in Him, because we can't effectively love other people apart from that. And so when we understand that God is trying to get us back into relationship with Him so He can reveal the very true intent of creation, because everything that's been created has a function or a purpose. And so when we get into the seventh spiritual law of success, which is called the law of Dharma, and I'll have to look it up. I can't remember exactly what the law of Dharma, I mean, Dharma means, it's Sanskrit, I believe, but it ultimately means purpose, a sense of purpose, functionality in life. And so when we understand the seventh spiritual law, we're going to kind of briefly go through all of the seven spiritual laws and how they're connected. But basically, the seven spiritual laws says we are spiritual beings who have taken a physical form to fulfill a purpose. So when we understand that from a creation standpoint, we all know how a child is born, but basically a child is created and comes to fruition as a physical being with the imprint of God in its soul. Its absent spirit of in regards to relationship with God simply because of the fall of man. As the child becomes conscious in the sense of a knowledge of good and evil, it's at that point that God begins to work in the heart of a child, in the heart of every one of us, getting us to a point of recognizing our absolute desperate need for him. In that relationship, he then begins to pour into us. Often he uses circumstances, i.e. pain, trials, challenges to break us, to get us to a point of absolute surrender. And in that process, he begins to reveal his purpose for us, which is ultimately why he created us. So when we understand that, that everything has a purpose, and there's a one of my favorite verses got me started on this is in Acts 13. It's a very simple verse. You can miss it totally, but it is eye-opening from the standpoint of God identifies one particular person. And if he identifies one particular person in this particular reference related to purpose, it really is open up to all of us. So it says, and now when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep and was buried with his ancestors. So to me, it lets me know that God has a purpose for each and every one. He just happens to point out David in this particular passage because David was directly connected to Christ, because out of the lineage of David came the Messiah, Jesus Christ, that was foretold. Of course, we know David had a great life in regards to God's calling on his life. When I say great, that doesn't mean everything went his way. He suffered betrayal after betrayal within his family, all throughout his life, but he ultimately was God's man, and says he was a man after God's own heart. Because he was able to be humbled and broken, even though he had some horrible sins that he had committed, he had a heart soft enough to be broken so that he could return back into a relationship with God. And so when we understand that every one of us, everything created, let me start there. Everything created was created for a purpose, and that includes us. We're just a little bit more complex because we are thinking beings. Everything around us that you're looking at has a purpose. This cup, this microphone, the pen I'm got next to me, all that has a purpose. It's just not animated, i.e., it doesn't have a soul or a spirit. You add the element of divinity into a form, i.e., us. Then you begin to have complexity to that purpose. And of course, it means basically that we will have one overall purpose. And when you look at the life of David, he had multiple purposes. He was a king, he was a father. But ultimately, the purpose was lived out in his obedience to what God had asked him to do in his life. And so when we understand, you're going to see a general pattern of purpose in people's life. It's a lot easier when you look at it in retrospect. So, for example, if I was to look at a Martin Luther King Jr., who was instrumental in the freeing of giving folks who were black equal rights. And so when you think about that, that was an overarching purpose that was he was created for. When you think of Mother Teresa, hers was to bring education to those that were down and out and suffering and raise a lot of money from that purpose. So like I said, we have overarching purposes. And then we work out our unique purposes in the specific things that God has gifted us with, and we're going to get into that. So each of us is given a unique and special talent, and that talent, unique, special talent is given to us. Other people may have that talent, but the uniqueness of who we are, and I often, when I get a chance to speak, I'll raise my finger up and I say, I want you to look at your finger. I said, not that we can see all the details, but there are no two fingerprints that are identical. Every one of us has a unique design to our fingerprint, which means we have unique design to our to how God created us to be. And so when we understand that, we stand out, and we stand out in a good way. And often, like I said, when we recognize that God created us uniquely, we've got to figure out how do we then find how we're going to use that gift or talent in service to others that will ultimately lead to a vocation. And abundance and wealth and different things like that. That is one of the challenges that we face. But the answer is very simple. It lies in our relationship with God. He alone will reveal his purpose and his what he wants to reveal to us in his time and in his way. But in order for us to achieve everything he's got planned for us, we've got to make sure we're surrendering. We've got to make sure that we're listening. Because think about it. I mean, if you're waiting to get instructions, but in your back of your mind thinking, well, I'm going to do it my way. Regardless of the instructions, the person giving you instructions, that person knew that, of course, God knows everything. He wouldn't give it to us because he knows that we would waste it. Oftentimes, God does give us the things that we're asking for ahead of time just so we can learn from that lesson. But it's interesting. So we understand that God's created us. We're created in his image. He gave us a unique talent, skill, whatever you want, a gift. And he has a plan with that gift because everything he's given us is not for our own sake. It is for the use and benefit of other people. So, for example, I always use this example. So, this pen was created for a specific purpose to meet a specific need. So, usually anything created has a purpose, but its purpose is to be used to meet a need. And so when you understand that, we just simply have to find the connection between us as a created being and God's purpose for us that's going to meet a specific need. So for me, to give as an example, my desire is that I help people find their purpose. But another overarching one is the covenant was created out of the need that other individuals had who were disabled who couldn't necessarily meet that need. And God communicated to me, this is what I want you to do. So there's a purpose, there's a gift, talent, and then it's connected to a need that ultimately is lived out in our obedience to what God's called us to be. So we blend that unique talent with service to others. And then what ultimately happens is God, who knew everything before we were even created, knew when we fulfilled our purpose, we became aware of who we were in Christ Jesus, and he communicated to us what we were to do. Then we go ahead and obediently do what he's called us to do. What ends up happening is, do we have feelings of anger, discouragement, bitterness? No, we have experiences of joy and love and passion. Those go hand in hand with the absolute obedience and connection to what God's called us to do. And there's a reason for that. So we can get into that a little bit later. But I want to go through, before we get into the songs, the quick breakdown of all the seven spiritual laws. So the first one is law of pure potentiality. So basically, that basically means that everything is possible in the moment, in the concept of the future. So when we think of the law of pure potentiality, is that everything is possible. Jesus says, "Ask and you shall receive; knock and the door shall be opened unto you." And so when we understand that everything is possible in the sense of pure potentiality, especially as it relates to the future. And it really breaks down to, of all things possible, when does it become actual form, a physical form? And that's when we start to on it. That's when we start use acts of faith. That's when we begin to use the intent and desire we talked about. So pure potentiality is that really anything is possible. And Jesus talked about that you can move a mountain, things such as that. When we understand and we break out of the limited thinking that we can only do certain things, well, no, as it comes to spirituality and the connection with divinity that we have in Christ Jesus, really anything is possible. We just have to have faith enough as the mustard seed, per se, to begin to believe those things are possible. So really, pure potentiality is that all things are available to us. We just need to decide what we're going to go after in line with what God's will is, when he's communicated to us in light of his purpose in our life. The law of giving and receiving is basically about, most of us want to receive, but we don't understand how we receive. And this is where the asking and receiving comes in. When Jesus says, "Ask and you shall receive," you ask by faith, believing that God is going to give that to you. As it pertains to giving and receiving, we give generously, knowing that God is the provider of all things. We don't necessarily, from a standpoint of transaction, we talked about when you're giving and receiving is when you give money to get a product, that is transactional. That's not the law of giving and receiving. The law of giving and receiving has everything to do with giving out of what God's giving you as an abundance in order to meet the need. And we talked about that, very important. So a lot of times people may have a certain gift or talent. They may have abundance of wealth, and they generously give to people who have need. And of course, God then gives to them in return. And so there's the element of absolute surrender, because you're giving to whatever God's laid in your heart to give, and you're open to receiving. So there's an element of humility. You're not too proud to receive, because there's going to be periods when you may be in need and others have to give to you. And I think that's very important that we understand that giving and receiving is like that yin yang, that go hand in hand. The law of karma, or cause and effect, really has everything to do, the very things, the choices we make and the effects that and actually that's out of, let me get my verse. Which one is it? I can't remember exactly what verse it is, but basically, as you sow, so shall you reap. And so it's really about choice making. It's about, do we want to have the right effect? And of course, it comes back to, what choice are we making? Are we making a choice that's going to be blessing other people? And of course, when we bless other people, by default, it comes back as a blessing. Not necessarily in the way we might think, but it always does. The law of least effort is when you have so much focus on the outcome, that you begin to lose sight in you, and basically you just, it's the really the law of surrender. So when you surrender the outcome over, and you just allow yourself, and nature is a great example. So when you look at outside, the trees grow, the grass grows, everything grows naturally. Jesus talked about the birds of the air, how they're fed and how they're clothed. And he's basically talking about, when you just allow God to do what God is going to do, you set goals, you set intentions, very similar, least effort, intention, desire are very similar. You let those things go. You give them over to God and say, God, this is my desire. This is my what I would want to happen, but I'm not going to work tirelessly for it because I know that if it's your will, you will bring it to pass. And so part of it is, it's not that you're not taking action. You're just not so determined and set on the outcome or the how and the why of how that's going to happen. Law of intention desires, you have a certain intention of what you want to accomplish. You then have a desire, the passion that drives you towards that. And that's very instrumental in anything you're going to do in life. And so, for example, God gives each of us a task, a talent, a gift. He gives us a vision of what we're to do. For me, example, it was the covenant. And so when I had that intention, I had that vision, I acted on it by faith. And eventually it just continued to grow and grow and grow. And the sixth law is the law of attachment. So we let go of the very thing we want the most, because often I kind of liken it to the horse race and the bunny. It says the bunny, they never catch the bunny because it's always out of their reach. And the law of detachment is we get so focused on something we want, and we don't allow God to reveal what is best for us, we're going to find ourselves chasing something that's not God's will. Chasing something that we think we want, but really in reality it's going to cause us much harm. And the law of detachment, basically leaving that and surrendering that over to God. And of course, we get now into the law of Dharma, which is the purpose of life. And so we're going to get into that and some of the many verses that I want to open up to you in regards to how God reveals his purpose. Because ultimately, like I said, he created us for a specific purpose. He uses David as an example. There's many, many more examples I will use in regards to who God used. And if God uses those, he will also use us, because God doesn't create something without a sense of functionality or purpose. It's just built within nature. It's built within everything, even within our own sense of creativity. We create things for a specific purpose. And like I said, the purposes may vary, but there's always a reason behind what we're creating. We just don't create randomly. Like I said, it's built within our very gene system. So let me go ahead and open up in prayer, and then we're going to share some songs. Dear Lord, I just thank you, Father, for allowing us to come before you, and Father, just revealing in your ways and in the relationship we have with you, what you have us to do today and each and every day. And Lord, it all comes in relationship to what you've done for us on the cross. And as we come to you, Father, in times of prayer and meditation, that we would allow our souls to blend with your spirit and surrender our choices, everything over to you, Father, that you would just reveal in your scripture through circumstances what you are doing in our lives to help us and mold us to be more like your son, more obedient in the choices that we make. Because, Father, in the obedience of the choices that we make, we reveal how much we love you. Because, Lord, you gave your own son to die on the cross for us, to live a life so that we can have a relationship with you, and simply so that you could pour into us your spirit to teach us, to instruct us, to guide us in the choices we make each and every day, with the desire to bless us, and the desire to give to us the very things that we need to live a successful life. And Father, we just thank you for your love. We thank you for your wisdom, your counsel, your guidance, and everything, Father. May right now, Lord, as we go before you in worship, that our hearts would be set ablaze of just the depth of your love for us, and that we would just fall so deeply in love with you and live our lives in order to please you and do the things that you would have us do. In Jesus' name, amen. You go ahead and start the first song. First song is called God of Purpose.
You have me in the past.
Next song is called Purpose in Every Way.
Wave without the ocean, what's life without the sun? It's life without a purpose, without you there is no one. In no direction until you were revealed. The story of an empty tomb restores the sin of life anew. You are the way my future's certain. Truth I build my life on in every way. Jesus is alive. We see all his love.
Song was playing. It's interesting when Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." And then he says, "No man comes unto me except for that way." And it's interesting. You know, a lot of people get into arguments. It's like, well, there's so many ways to God. Just be thankful that he gave us a way, and we understand that everything moves in one direction. Past doesn't go past, or we don't jump from future to past. It just goes in one direction. It's past, present, future. And we understand that from a time element, we understand the concept of faith. We only have today and what we know and see. We don't know what tomorrow holds. So we have to trust, and too many of us trust in ourselves. We don't have the ability to know what the future is going to hold. We can just properly prepare. But when we understand that God has already told us He is the way. And when it comes to, I thought about this for a second. Truth is such a powerful element, and we are surrounded. We see it originally in the garden where the enemy presents another quote unquote truth, which of course was a lie, because if it's not the truth, it's a lie. And how many of us fall into susceptibility of believing things that we think are true because they come from somebody maybe we trust or somebody who we just want to believe in, and it ends up being a lie. Most of the decisions I made that got me to where I'm at, because I was gullible, the Bible talks about simple. And a lot of it was led and directed because I wanted people to like me. And we've got to get to a point where we don't necessarily care what other people think about us. And one that really matters most, obviously, is God. And if our eyes and our focus is upon Him being the way, knowing He also speaks the truth, because you don't want to follow somebody who's going to lie to you. And that's what happened to Adam and Eve. They believed Satan was telling them the truth. Otherwise, they would not have made the decision to disobey. And part of it is we've got to understand when Christ says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, what does He mean by the life? The other verse that God gave me is, I came to give them life abundantly. It's not a settled life, it is an abundant life. And when we understand that God has given us and shown us the way, we are simply to follow Him. He's given us the truth. And of course, if we want to end up in the right direction, and in the outcome, the end, to fulfill what God's called us to do, it's going to be based on following His truth, not somebody else's truth. So we understand when Christ has given us the opportunity and the way to go in life, we simply need to be obedient and follow Him. So I'm going to just share that with you. And then the next song I'm going to share with you all is Walking in My Purpose. And the life of the spirit, the life of calling a destiny that God's called us is to walk in His purpose and to walk in the ways that we know ultimately will lead to our things that are going to be a blessing for us and our family.
Morning, I rise, eyes on the prize, purpose in my stride, no disguise, no lies. Destiny's calling, I install and I'm all in. Building my legacy, can't you see? I'm falling. Life tried to break me, shake me, but I'm still here. Vision so clear, I got nothing to fear. Steps ordained, I maintain my lane. Hustle in my veins, purpose in my brain. Walking in my purpose, can nobody stop me? Every single step, I'm becoming who I'm meant to be. Focused on my path, I'm the one, I'm the key. Living out my dreams, yeah, I'm walking in my destiny. Walking in my purpose, can nobody stop me? Every single step, I'm becoming who I'm meant to be. Focused on my path, I'm the one, I'm the key. Living out my dreams, yeah, I'm walking in my destiny. Haters gonna hate, but they just fuel my fire. Climbing higher and higher, I never tire. Challenges come, but I face them with grace. Determined and strong, I'm running this race. Purpose driven, every move is divine. In the darkness I shine, my soul's aligned. Manifesting greatness, I'm on my grind. Unstoppable force, I'm one of a kind. Walking in my purpose, can nobody stop me? Every single step, I'm becoming who I'm meant to be. Focused on my path, I'm the one, I'm the key. Living out my dreams, yeah, I'm walking in my destiny. Walking in my purpose, can nobody stop me? Every single step, I'm becoming who I'm meant to be. Focused on my path, I'm the one, I'm the key. Living out my dreams, yeah, I'm walking in my destiny. Purpose is my guide, I won't be denied. With every stride, I feel alive. Overcoming, thriving, I won't hide. In my purpose, I confide. Walking in my purpose, can nobody stop me? Every single step, I'm becoming who I'm meant to be. Focused on my path, I'm the one, I'm the key. Living on my dreams, yeah, I'm walking in my destiny. Walking in my purpose, can nobody stop me? Every single step, I'm becoming who I'm meant to be. Focused on my path, I'm the one, I'm the key.
Living on my dreams, yeah, I'm walking in my destiny. So here I stand, purpose in my hand, living out my plan in this promised land. Walking in my truth, I'm the proof you see. Purpose in my stride, forever free. Life tried to break me, shake me, but I'm still here. Vision so clear, I got nothing to fear. Steps ordained, I maintain my lane. Hustle in my veins, purpose in my brain. Purpose is my guide, I won't be denied. With every stride, I feel alive. Overcoming, thriving, I won't hide. In my purpose, I confide. Walking in my purpose, can't nobody stop me. Every single step, I'm becoming who I'm meant to be. Focused on my path, I'm the one, I'm the key. Living on my dreams, yeah, I'm walking in my destiny. Purpose is my guide, I won't be denied. With every stride, I feel alive. Overcoming, thriving, I won't hide. In my purpose, I confide.
And I looked up the word destiny. I'm going to read it to you. Well, meaning destiny encompasses a predetermined or inevitable future, whether it's a specific course of event for a person or thing, or the ultimate power that it believes to control those events. It implies a sense of fate or fortune. So when we understand that God who created us, knit us in our mother's womb, these are directly out of scripture, and has a plan and a purpose for our lives, we are destined to walk in that purpose. When we look at so many different figures, Moses providentially was, it was prophesied of what his life was going to be like. His mother basically put him in the river and then providentially was picked up by the Pharaoh's sister to be raised as if basically become a king. He then fulfilled the purpose that God gave to Abraham 400 years earlier to basically deliver the people. And so we don't always know when God's going to come and say, okay, it's time. I prepared you all this time. David was basically picked out of he was a shepherd boy. He was picked out of a field by the prophet Samuel to be the next king. We don't always know when God is going to call us to fulfill our purpose. We just live by faith, knowing that he's created us for a unique and special gift to do something great. Sometimes it will be like a Moses or a David or an Esther, where her uncle said, who knows, you were created for this specific time to deliver her people that were destined to be killed, massacred. And so we have to be open and believe that we were created to do great things. We just may not know exactly what it is at this time. But part of it is recognizing when Christ says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and I want to give you an abundant life, and that all has everything to do with the relationship and how much I love you. And if you allow me to pour myself into you, one, I will make your life amazing. Two, I will make you be an amazing person to lives around you. And if we are just open and just allow God to reveal who he is and begin to really fall in love with him, so that we then begin to fall in love with ourselves and then, of course, fall in love with other people. And that's the biggest challenge we face, because everything flows from God through us into other people, so that our love for other people, especially the ones that are hard to love, is going to draw them back to him so that they can be restored and they can do the very thing that God has done for us. And often it gets us to a point when you look at people like the Apostle Paul, who went through a lot of suffering, a lot of pain, whose purpose was clearly lived out in his life. But he suffered for it, knowing that God was going to use his pain to transform a world. The last song is called Shattered.
Shattered and torn.
Echoes of regret like a relentless storm. Every word of rejection, every look of disdain, I cry out to you, Lord, feeling lost in my pain. In the depths of my despair, your whisper cuts through. My child, your path is carved in every scar you view. Purpose for the pain, your plan hidden in the tears. In every cry of voice, your love draws ever near. Though the night feels endless, your life will lead me on. In every wound and heartache, your purpose will be done. The weight of my failures crushing my soul. Questions of my worth, can I ever be whole? In the darkest corners, I hear your gentle voice. Every broken piece I will use, so rejoice. You remind me in the shadows that in my weakness lies a strength born from your love, lifting me to rise. Purpose through the pain, your plan hidden in the tears. In every cry of voice, your love draws ever near. Though the night feels endless, your life will lead me on. Will be done.
Share something with you real quick. Hold on. Turn this off. I'm going to share another verse with you real quick. Let me get that stopped and get my video on. The verse is actually Hebrews chapter 12. Hold on a second. Just had it up. So fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And it's interesting because the joy set before him wasn't necessarily the cross. It was on the other side of the cross. Scorning and shame, he then sat down at the right hand of God. And often God gets us to a point where what lies before us is scary. That's why it's interesting in Psalm 23, it says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will never leave you. It says, my rod and my staff, they comfort you. And sometimes God will call us to greater purposes that are going to challenge us in our faith. And yes, Christ did say, I came to give them life abundantly. But sometimes in the sacrifice of serving other people and whatever we've been called to do, it's gonna require that we submit and surrender to God, because ultimately on the other side of whatever that challenge is, he's going to be there and he's going to strengthen us. And there's going to be a higher calling beyond that life of sacrifice, that life of surrender, what it may. In the moment, it feels very hard, but recognize God is working deeply in our character to conform us more to the image of his son, so that out of that obedience in the time of struggles that we begin, his purpose is so clearly lasered into our very genes of what we're called to do. And then we get to a point like Jesus says, not my will be done, but thy will be done. And it's pretty powerful when we get to that point, because then God can unleash anything he wants in our life, because he knows the response will always be obedience. And that's pretty powerful when we think about what God wants to be able to do to get to a point of absolute and complete obedience, so that he can do whatever he will. He's looking for people who are wanting to be obedient and serve him, so that his purposes can be manifested in and through us. And of course, this is one of the verses I've shared with y'all before. Some verses, handpicked some verses that stand out. So for I know the plans I have for you. These are the plans God has, because God is outside of time. He has plans for our future. And saying that those plans are to prosper us and not harm us, to give us hope and a future. So that's clearly identifying that God wants to do great and wonderful things to us, but we've got to allow him to do it in his timing and how he chooses to do it. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things good work for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Because ultimately, that's the whole purpose of Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, is that we surrender ourselves, we lay ourselves down as a living sacrifice. We don't pursue the ways of the world, i.e. If you have any question what that is, go right to the garden, and Adam and Eve were faced with that temptation. And unfortunately, they chose the wrong path. And God is saying, I've given you a direction. It's that to seek righteousness. And when you seek righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. And that means all the wonderful things that he's planned and purposed for us. When we lay that over to him, he will make it very clear in his spirit, and it's exactly what we're to do each and every day. Psalms 138, 8, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, i.e. seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, which God prepares. So he prepared in advance everything we're to do. He's looking for people who are willing to volunteer, sign up to do the things that he's called us to do, so that he would be glorified. The outcome is we're blessed because of that. Proverbs 19:21, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. He ultimately will work out his purpose. It's a lot easier if we're obedient. 2 Timothy 1:9, he has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. God recognizes when we choose his path, his direction. Holy doesn't mean perfect. It just means righteous. We're seeking to do that which is good, to glorify God and good to other people. So when we're making choices not to criticize, not to slander, not to gossip,